Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, Gotham After Buzzers? Up next, we find out, did Isabella survive? And what is Barnes' fate? Guilty.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I feel like I'm walking through the streets of Gotham.
Yellow.
You know? It's brooding music. Trying to clean the mean streets. What's up, everybody? I'm Michael Drew. I'm here with my boy Steve Kaufman. Welcome to the Gotham After Show, Season 3, Episode 9, The Executioner. If you haven't already, please go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Like, subscribe, comment. Go to iTunes, SoundCloud,
Stitcher,
Snapchat, Instagram.
However you are listening and or seeing our voices.
Yes, seeing pictures, hearing voices.
All the things.
Watching us live on YouTube.
Rate us high on the things.
Rate us high on everything that can allow us to be rated on.
Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter. On that Twitter. And my name is Michael_Drew. That's Michael EAL. _Drew. Steve?
Where can the people find me?
Yes,
they can
please.
Find me right here, right now, in this current universe. They can also find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN.
Amen. And yes. Shout out to Monty, who's not here today. She will join us shortly soon. Well, not today, but
she's probably exhausted. If you've seen her Instagram, she's probably very exhausted.
Yeah, she
right
ran
now.
Like a marathon.
Yeah. I think a half marathon.
In Spider-Man gear.
Yes.
We have to talk to her
Disney.
About that.
Yeah, I don't...
Someone should have told her we're Batman.
Well...
Somebody... Was it was for Disney? She did that at Disneyland?
It was the Disneyland.
She should have been a rebel then. She should have been a rebel. There should have been a bat signal on that chest.
I mean, you run a marathon, you get to wear whatever you want.
I know, right? You figure. okay, quickly, real quick, off the top of your head, this episode?
Love this episode. I just want to point out, I've been loving this whole season.
This season's on fire. The last two episodes were crazy. Last week to this week, just the whole Barnes arc is just fire. It's insane.
Just yeah, that I agree with you. Like I don't have any addition. I'm like, no, this is incredible.
But if you see this episode, like Barnes, he's so the Michael Chiklis, he's so good at he can ham it up, man.
Yeah,
like he knows how to like for he plays somber, cool, calculated. You know, Chief really well, but then when he has to turn it up, he can ham it up so good to where it's just such a comic book character.
But it's believable.
Fits. Yeah, exactly.
It's believable because I could think of five actors who are Michael Chiklis' type
who can't do
that. That would make that joke. That would come off like a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas with Michael Chiklis, it's like, nah, that dude'll get you.
The final scene?
Yeah.
The final scene?
And in typical Gotham fashion, he's literally on a shelf.
Oh,
but
final scene is so good. It's so good. All right, but we'll get to it. We'll get to it in a bit. We're not going to open up with a final scene because that's corny. that's corny, guys. No, we'll start off real quick. We'll get into another. Well, first, I guess we got to start with congratulating you because you called Isabella's death.
Of course. That was.
Damn it! They killed her again.
Seriously,
they keep killing this damn actress.
I think that's kind of fun.
Jeez, man. Like, she just came back. I was so happy that she came back. I was like, yes, all right. I'm so excited to see their chemistry again because they're so good together. Yeah. And they just killed her. What are you doing?
I think they kind of did that in a pretty much two-week arc just for us because this time last year, our only complaint was like, oh, they'll be so great together for like weeks. And then 2 weeks, killed her.
Come on, man. What are you doing?
So, like, similarly, we get a different actress, same role. Although, congrats to her, she gets paid for a third episode.
I know, but damn it, she better come back as crazy. In his brain, I mean, you know, when he talks to
She's always there.
I know, that's what I'm hoping for.
And then,
I liked seeing her there. I like her chemistry with Nygma. I was fully expecting her and Penguin war, fighting for his love. Penguin doesn't play games like, nah, I'm just gonna kill you.
Yep.
Damn.
No, dude. But I like that can be used pretty well.
Oh.
It's a big fan. Big fan of everything they're doing here. Also a big fan of the fact that she died.
Yeah.
And that we move on. Well, I'm a big fan of the fact that she died, and then we move on to Penguin. We move on to a moment where it's, oh, Nygma and Penguin are just bros now. Like, this was a bump in their road. This was a bump in their road eventually be a catalyst to Nygma's turn. Nope, it all happened today. That's what I like about this show, that you, anytime you think you're thinking, like, 5-6 episodes ahead, no, that'll happen next week.
Yeah.
That'll all happen next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll just keep moving.
Yeah. But I think it's going to come back. I don't think it's just going to be bros now.
No, that's what I'm saying, that it's the division's...
You think the division's going to happen?
Well, I think after the butch of it all, the division's going to happen.
Yeah. I hope so.
But that's not... Once again, this show's not going to take long to do that. It's going to take, like, a week.
Because Nygma's got to go on his own. He can't keep being Penguin's sidekick.
Yeah. Ooh, I have a good prediction, but we're not there.
Well, you're on fire now, so you're like the Conor McGregor of this panel. Calling it how you see it, huh? You need an Irish accent. You ain't gonna do nothing. All right, so...
Do not pit me into a terrible Irish accent. It would sound Jamaican, it would be weird and offensive to more than one country.
It's a Jamaican-Irish right there. So Nygma, we pretty much start off with Nygma's all depressed, and Penguin sees all that. And he's getting a portrait picture painted of him.
And do still do that?
Well, I mean, it's kind of retro in Gotham.
Yeah, like, I wonder, I feel like you could probably pay someone not as much as you'd, like, to get a portrait of yourself. I feel like that wouldn't be, like, millions of dollars or, like, even hundreds of thousands of dollars. Like, I think to get a portrait of myself done would probably be, like $5,000.
Yeah, but that was a pretty authentic painting.
Yeah.
You gotta pay that dude. You probably got paid. No, well, $5,000.
$5,000.
What's $5,000 in Gotham? According to Ivy, it's like...
I love this, that she's still an 11-year-old girl. I know. Like, she's still a 12-year-old girl.
$400. so pretty much, Penguin is... What do you think about the whole Penguin sulking situation? Like, he was sulking, and I like how... How when Nygma was sulking, Penguin was just like he kind of expected him to just get over it.
Yeah. From the outside, that made a lot of sense for Penguin because it had been a week. Like, he even had a throwaway line of just like, it's been a week.
Yeah.
Like, how in love could you have possibly been?
It's like, come on, dude.
But I enjoyed everything about this. I enjoyed that they didn't stay on this too much either.
No.
That it was very much just, he goes to the, like, he accepts that, like, this happened, she's dead, I need to move on, he goes to the grave, and then, he goes to the death site, and at the death site he learns from a fragrant homeless man.
Yeah, from a fragrant homeless man who tells him, like, I heard it.
Fragrant, blind homeless man. I love, just, that's the most comic booky thing I've ever heard.
I know.
Just so many pronouns on Disney. Could have just been he could have just met a dude and was like, nope, he's a smelly homeless blind man.
Well, I think they wanted to insinuate like how, because she was supposed to be fell asleep at the wheel, how he heard her. You know, if he was blind, I think that he really would have accentuated because he heard it exactly.
Mm.
You know, the body, they found the body.
You're a little gnarled out on this.
Yeah, I mean, it bothered me. Because I imagine that she died. I imagine they killed her so quick. And I just really didn't think it would happen because they didn't show the accident. You know, and that's such a TV trope that when they don't show the accident, I'm like, uh-oh, she must have survived.
Not this show.
Not this. They got rid of her. I was kind of thinking that maybe it was in Penguin's mind when he saw the body. Like, no, she's dead.
Nah, she dead.
She dead. All right, so then Penguin pretty much... figures out what's going on. I mean, Nygma finds out what's going on. Finds does his own little detectiving, and figures out she's murdered. And he goes right to Butch.
Interesting leap. I mean, it makes sense.
I knew something was up because he came up to Penguin too excited.
Yeah.
You know, like he ran up to him like, he's like, I know something. Oh, like if you think he's the murderer.
Well, also, he's pretty fragile emotional. Like he's a pretty fragile person emotionally. That if that's how he felt about Isabella, imagine how he lost her. Imagine how he would feel if he found out Penguin had betrayed him the whole time. That like he wouldn't be able to face Penguin like that.
And I think it's a testament to how much he actually trusts Penguin.
Yeah.
The fact that Penguin probably didn't even come to his mind when he was thinking of who killed her. It's like, it can't be Penguin. So who else is it?
He was thinking it was Lee. It was Butch. It was Tabitha.
Jim,
it was
Lee. Probably went down everyone's...
Barnes, yep, maybe.
Probably did the whole Rolodex.
The mayor. All these people who aren't the Court of Owls that actually run the whole city.
I know, right? Yeah. So anyway, we will be getting more into that in the upcoming weeks, I guess. You're gonna save a prediction?
I'm saving it. But okay. Amanda Powell in the chat, did anyone else think the bruises on her face were on the wrong side? If she was on the table,
it was her left side that was bruised up.
No, that's right. Because it was our right. So her left. So her left would be where the train. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, she got hit.
But it was our right.
You thought that too?
Right and left are not my strong suits. When I meet women, it takes me a second to realize that they're single or not. I have to remember that my right is their left.
Oh, when you're looking at the ring?
When you look at their hands.
Jeez.
That's a very common problem.
That's if you care if they got a ring or not.
It's just, you know, you got to care a little.
Morals, right? Right, guys? You got to have morals. all right, so let's move on real quick to Ivy before we get into the big old gym stuff. So Ivy, she's fully enjoying what her body can and cannot do.
Pretty much.
Like she's got this massive tool right here. She's just using and abusing stupid old men with money.
Yeah, that's... I think we know a couple of those people around Hollywood.
Huh. She'd fit in here.
She would.
She'd fit in.
She'd run this place by now.
Well...
She's the intellect of an 11-year-old? That's like 6 years more than most. Most of the people I'm talking about.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah, and Ivy goes. Oh, but I like this scene because we finally see her using her botanical abilities.
Yes,
when she was being, you know, for an 11-year-old, she's not smart when it comes to money, but she sure knows how to make potent drugs.
Well, that was the only thing because it looked like she was homeschooled or at least not in school. Yeah.
She was homeless.
Yeah. Yeah, she was homeless, so that was probably the only thing she knew how to do was deal with plants.
Yeah,
and that Selena Kyle would always have food.
Yeah. And she's good at eating food and making perfume. That can, control you. That's, or kill you.
It's important.
Depending on what she wants to do. So, yeah, she puts the guy under the spell and jacks him. Goes into the vault. Takes the necklace. She didn't, I mean, you know, she just went for what was the prettiest. She didn't
look around. I love that this could have very well been part of this slow burn they've been doing with Ivy since week one, where it's just like, and then she's robbing people, and now she's at this club, and now she's here. Like, we just kind of see her, but we've seen that enough that it's like, oh, this is just another her robbing things. But like, she gets like deep into the underworld of God. Like,
it was like instantly, like the first person she robs just turns out to be a freaking member of, I guess, what we find out later is that has something to do with the Court of Owls.
That key, my guess would be that...
That individual is part of the Court of Owls.
Or at least whoever has access to... I don't know. Yeah, I'm out.
Yeah.
It's definitely a key. The key would unlock something. My guess would be it would be some type of cloak and dagger stuff where everyone has to enter the key. Everyone has to sit in a room and then enter that key into the portal and Thetans, maybe.
Yeah. Well, we get to the key part by Ivy running for her life because the perfume clearly doesn't work long enough, so she has to work on that.
Mm.
And she escapes the rich gentleman and goes to Selena, and then I guess they pretty much put two and two together and realize that this older woman is actually Selena. Is actually Ivy.
Pardon. Yeah. I liked how they teased this, too.
Yeah.
That they had seen each other before, and it was like, oh, who is this crazy redheaded lady talking to me?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, that's Ivy. Yeah. Oh, I should care.
Yeah.
that's my bestie.
I like how it goes right back to their friendship, how it goes from Selena like, oh my God, I thought you were dead, to her like, I wish you never came back. Thanks for coming back. And Selena, Ivy points out that Selena and Bruce are dating.
aren't they?
Aren't they?
Well, she said together.
So are you know? Is that are you guys together?
And he's like, absolutely.
And she's like, yeah. And she's I kissed like, her.
And she's like, nah.
What do you think happened? I don't give these lips to everybody.
That's always a weird conversation.
She's like, no.
For other people to ask of you, like, oh, are you two together? We like just met. Can you not put labels on us? But in this case, Bruce is trying to like wife her up.
Yeah, he's trying to claim it. He's trying to claim it. You almost,
in the non-patriarchal way that she's still an independent person.
I know.
He is trying to.
She's like, I don't need your money. Yeah. And while this in the midst of them figuring out their relationship, assassins show up and they run. And while running away, Bruce figures, hey, let's just give the jewels back.
Mm-hmm.
I'll buy it off you and give it back for a whole. And I love Ivy and Bruce's bartering. 1,000, 2,000. Selena's just like, damn, you're dumb. Damn.
We don't get too much into dollars and cents in Gotham, but that's like 20, 30,000. Like, that's a $20,000,
$30,000. You start high, 500,000, you work your way low.
Not if you're 11 and didn't have very much school. Like, you don't understand.
Selena would have raked him over the coals, boy. Selena would have left that place with a Bentley.
By the way, 5,000 is clearly walking around money for Bruce Wayne.
I know, right? He's like, I don't think he walks around with money, though.
I think
he has a card, though. Card?
No, I think he's cash. I think I don't know. I guess if you're a kid, you don't have access to your bank account. Like, I think he does have to call Alfred. He probably has to call Alfred and say, I need $5,000 in a bag. I need $5,000 brown paper bag and no questions, please.
So then we end up at Bruce's. He lets them sleep over. Selena apologizes. I mean, Ivy. I keep calling Selena. Ivy, Selena. Ivy apologizes to Selena.
Mm.
She said, I'm sorry. I'm ruining things with your boyfriend. She's like, shut up. Then we go and we see the assassins. I mean, I guess I was thinking League of Assassins, but it's the assassins, I guess, who work for the Court of Owls.
Yes, that would technically be the League of Assassins. Like, yeah. Well, let me rephrase. This show, it could be any of those things. But they make it clear in the preview for next week that it's the Court of Owls. So whether it's the same League of Assassins that report to the Court of Owls, we don't actually know or care. Like, this show doesn't seem to care about the canon that way. So these could just be assassins hired by the Court of Owls. It could be that Assassins League that we saw introduced last season.
Yeah.
And that they clearly report to the Court of Owls. It could be any of those things. But they have crossbows, and they're awesome.
Yeah. And we're left with them finding, by snooping through Selena's stuff, they find a newspaper clippings of Bruce.
Why does Selena keep that?
I don't know. I think that's just a writing trope. But it works.
No, it worked. It made it very clear for all of us, like, oh, that they're on the path, if you will.
Oh, and they also killed
the guy. Yeah, they killed the guy because he lost his key.
Yeah, which is where they find the key, and they figured out why they try to give it back the jewel, and it turns into the key.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going. I mean, so apparently he just Bruce trying not to, but he just stumbled his way back into the midst of the Court of Owls.
Do you think they were there because that rich guy that Ivy was with was up to no good, and they wanted to take his key back, or do they have that much security on their keys that the second Ivy got close,
that's a good question.
The second he went home with someone who had robbed other people, the league is there. Like, the league is there. Just like, nah, she gonna jack him.
Well, maybe he reached out to the league saying, "Someone robbed me. We gotta get it." And they killed him because he was a weak link.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
I think the power of the key.
I think he could have called them and told them, say, hey, listen, someone stole my key. Can you guys just get it back for me?
Actually, the more I think about it, I don't think he knew it was a key. I think he just thought it was a jewel. I think we're giving this guy way too much credit. I don't think he's a part of the Gotham underworld at all. I think he just saw a giant ruby and was like, I want it. And then bought it. And then, so they were tracking him down. They were tracking him down the track, down the key, and it's the opposite of what we thought. They're actually terrible at knowing where their keys are.
All right.
Like, day to day, they're very bad at it. There's three missing at any one moment.
Like, where is it? Okay.
Well, I think it's a cycle, though. You gotta keep those assassins working. The underworld's got an economy, too.
Yeah, is that what it is?
Winners, losers.
All right. thank you, Steve. All right, so that's pretty much where that's left off. Now to the main event.
Let's do it.
Jim Gordon versus Barnes. Who is the truest of true Gotham saviors?
Whew.
You like that?
I can see the poster. We should write up a poster. We should make
Barnes versus Jim. We probably should have did it before. It's too late now.
Like an old school. Well, they'll fight again.
Hopefully. All right. Well, I'll get into that after. All right. So we're at the GCPD. Jim's. You know, it's the whole kerfuffle since the death of Simon, mm-hmm. the face misplacement guy. And Jim is looking around, and he asks Bullock where. He tells Bullock about what he knows,
mm-hmm.
that Barnes got ID'd by Simon. Bullock, of course, isn't with it. And then Jim tells Lee. Lee, no one's believing him, but he's trying. He's just keeping it to himself. And then he sends Harvey to find some evidence. Barnes, on the other hand, he's 100, like everything in this show does, he's 0 to 100. He has three guys about to get hung, like strapped on chairs, ready to get hung.
I love this.
And he was just naming all of their crimes, each one. You know, they're legit crimes. Sex trafficking, what was it, drug dealing, and
All the bad things.
The sex trafficking one, that's the main one. Castrate him.
Well,
decapitation. So, and I like how essentially they're all men who have been on his radar, but he went the long route, the law route,
mm-hmm.
and he could never pin them. So he's just like, you just screw it. That's crazy. Like he just, since he's crazy now, he could just be like, I'm just gonna go pick him up and kill him now. That's the only thing stopping me from killing you is my honor. I like that. So anyway, he just proceeds to kick them. Kick the chair under each and every one of them.
Mm.
It was epic. Guilty. Bang. Bang.
That was just such a perfect intro to what we were doing.
Yep.
Like, oh, no, this is what we're doing now. This is what's up.
This is what it is.
Everything. So, with the first Gordon Barnes thing,
mm-hmm.
when they're in his office.
Yeah.
Given the bar scene last week,
yeah.
I thought he was trying to have like a Vader moment of like, join me.
Already?
I thought that's what Barnes wanted for Gordon.
From the get-go
was just like, you agree with me, right?
Oh yeah, I can see that. That makes sense, yeah. I was figuring
But like
that-
it happened way more dramatic at gunpoint. It was all weird.
Yeah.
Like,
but you thought, yeah.
I kind of wanted Barnes to be a little misguided about Gordon, of just like, no, you're all game for just killing people, right?
Yeah,
you did it like two times.
I know. I mean, I liked how throughout the episode he goes back to Galavan a lot. It's like, dude, you're no saint, man.
Mm.
We can do this together.
Yeah,
we can be the bad Batman and Robin.
The bad man and.
Don't try it. There's nothing there. There's nothing.
Robber. The bad man and robber.
There's nothing there.
No, that is good, guys. Hashtag bad man and robber.
There's nothing there. So, I'm standing
by that pun. That was a good pun.
So speaking of the office, yeah, he catches him in the office because Jim is full on trying to research to see if he's guilty or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because he can't let it go.
Well, because, you know, law.
Yeah, you know, the law.
The law.
You know, it goes like that. Barnes catches him. Jim makes up some BS. And Barnes gets him to go find who he says is an informant who might know who killed Simon. Right? What was his name? The Sugar Man? Sugar. So they get into the car. And, you know, they have a nice little back and forth. And Barnes is full on. He's let the virus take over him. He allows Jim. I like it when he allows Jim to ask him questions.
Yeah, get a statement.
Yeah. And he just lies cold. Like, nope. Nope.
Nope. Wrong.
But then at the very end, he gets... He gets pretty vigilante, and he kind of starts talking like Jim talked at the beginning of this season and maybe the ending of last season.
Yeah.
You know, although what if the law isn't enough?
Yeah, but Jim was never like, I'm going to just go kill him. It was just like, as a bounty hunter, I can just go and get him.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bounty on their head. I'll just go and get him and drop him off.
Yeah, so he was
murdering. Still within the law. Like, he wasn't a murderer. He never wanted to be a murderer.
Yeah. So they find Sugar, And they're interviewing Sugar, and I like how Barnes is just straight, like, so you didn't kill him. Oh, all right. And then Jim's just like, okay. Then he shoots him anyway.
Yeah.
He shoots him anyway. And then he turns it right on Jim. I love that. Mm. It's right to it. No nonsense. This show's not subtle, man.
No.
There's no subtlety.
Speaking of that, Renji in the chat says boo, probably to my bad man and robber.
See?
But Eric Olin and Amanda Powell on my side. They are team bad man and robber. Yeah. Robber. I'll get there.
Barnes admits to murder.
Yeah.
Jim figures it out about the virus. And I like how I figured this wasn't going to happen because they pointed it out so early. But Jim was just like, hey, you're technically not doing this because you've been taken over by a drug. We can make you innocent. You know?
Yeah.
But they're saying it so early. And the way this show has been going, I was just like, okay, if they're bringing it up so early, I don't think he's going to get the cure.
Well,
I think this is Barnes.
Yeah,
this is Barnes. I think this is him from now on.
Well, I don't think they have any more of her blood to test on.
Is that what it is?
Like, no, they tested it on rats. They still have it. They still have it. They can work towards a cure. But in typical we're not to predictions yet, but I have a prediction on what's happening with Barnes.
Okay.
But hypothetically, if he had a virus that caused him to commit murder...
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure you get in America, you'd get criminally insane. In our world, you'd be criminally insane and you'd be at a place like Arkham for life. In Gotham, you go to Arkham and then 3 weeks later they give you a certificate. You go to Arkham and then they cure the virus and they let you out. And you can be anything.
Yeah.
You can definitely be a police captain again because you can be mayor.
Yeah.
And
I know, right? That's true.
Like,
he can go right back to his old job.
Literally. He can
literally go back to his old job.
He could literally get out of Arkham and be police commissioner.
Jeez.
And run on a platform of, like, I'm anti other felons.
Yeah.
It's like, you're also a felon.
Yeah. They're
real liberal over there.
So Jim, so Barnes does what you pretty much insinuated earlier. He tries to get Jim on his side.
Mm-hmm.
Jim declines. Jim runs for his life.
Also, Renji in the chat said it would take years to make a cure.
Oh.
That they had mentioned in exposition it would take years.
Oh, okay. Well, shit.
Well, we're just going to lock that guy up.
Well, sorry, Barnes.
Because there's a cell that can hold him.
Well, I know. So Jim runs, calls Harvey, and Harvey goes to Lee, and they pretty much fabricate a blood sample. That's pretty much what Lee says she did. She just lied and said, hey, this is... I got proof that this is...
Yeah, well, we missed that whole part. Like, that whole part happened off screen.
Yeah, but she says it to Jim later on.
Yeah,
Jim,
but Jim she says said she fabricated you. Blood and, like...
Just to, you know... So, they pretty much do that. And then we get the one-on-one match. I didn't think I'd see. We get Barnes versus Gordon.
I didn't think we'd see it this week. I thought he would go under the radar again, but once again, Gotham. No, let's go.
Yeah, Barnes, this guy, the scowl on this man. He has a scowl. It's very scary. I told you when I met the guy, when I thought I made him mad at me, it was intimidating. Like, it's real. Camera don't lie.
No.
You know, and his face is a lot bigger on that little screen. So he goes one-on-one with Jim, and then it ends with the final face-off with the guns. And Jim shoots him.
Do we think there's more to that scene because they didn't show it? Or do we think that just Jim shot first and it was cooler? It was cooler to leave us in suspense.
I was thinking that they're somehow going to insinuate that Barnes forced himself not to kill Jim.
Or at least leaving themselves open to that.
Yeah.
But once again, if there's anything there, that's going to happen like next week.
Yeah.
Next week or the week after this.
There might be a break from Barnes.
Well, there's definitely going to be a break from Barnes. Like, the next time we pick up the Barnes situation is like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he forced himself to not fire at me. Because if they both pulled the trigger at the same time, he had a shotgun.
Yeah.
A shotgun is, like, 17 bullets blasting toward you, whereas a gun is one bullet traveling through 17 particles of blood. Like, I don't know. There's the more I think about it, the more I'm like, oh, they left themselves open to something there.
So they arrest Barnes. He shoots Barnes in the arm, and Barnes ends up in the cell, and we just have this final moment of looking at him screaming guilty. Oh, I don't know if anyone knows who's listening or watching. If you can put it in the chat, I'm pretty certain. I mean, this is deep cuts, but I don't know if anyone here actually watched the Batman, the animated series, but there is I'm pretty sure there's a specific episode where I seen that scene before.
Where you were saying it was the executioner.
Yeah, it was something like that. Or like it could have been there was a character who was put in Arkham, and at the end of the cartoon it ended on him saying guilty. And I thought that was paying homage to
Absolutely.
It could have been Two-Face. Because I think the executioner is Two-Face.
Yeah.
I think it could have been Two-Face.
That could make
sense.
Because
he got another split personality.
And we will get on it the second we're done.
So if anyone...
We will know.
Hit me on Twitter. Or if you're on the chat right now, hit us in the chat. If I'm right or if I'm wrong. If
you know. Eric Olin in the chat is saying Barnes will become Lockup.
Lockup.
Yes.
Is that the character's name?
I think so. That's what Eric Olin in the chat is saying. Okay. James Mirror Domains in the chat. I like Gotham because the story actually moves, unlike other series. And then he coughs and says, The Walking Dead.
Oh, damn.
That text cough.
Damn.
Got to get on that, James. Damn. You think you're ready?
Oh, you want to...
Are you...
I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah. I mean, they don't want
Jim
that.
And Lee have a nice little moment. That's it.
Yeah.
Barnes screams out guilty. That's it.
Guilty!
I guess we're gonna jump into this whole little thing we like to call predictions. No. Good timing, now, producer. Good job. Buzz TV. All right.
What do you got?
Oh man. All right, you start because I didn't come in with one.
As I usually do, I worked one out while we talked about it. Oof, I think...
You were special.
If you have Barnes in a cell that likely can't hold him, the possibility of getting us back on his side a little by saying he can control the virus.
Mm.
You have Nygma and Penguin, who are eventually going to splinter off, while emboldening Butch and most of the underworld that Butch represents. You have Selina Kyle... Bruce Wayne and Ivy rattling the cage that is the Court of Owls. And we saw from next week that it looks like he's getting all revengey again.
Who's getting revengey?
Bruce is.
Okay.
Because it feels like he wants to go after the assassins. Because there's probably an arm of the Court of Owls that's actually doing the killing that the Court of Owls wants. So he wants to go after them. We hear Falcone Sr. telling him to let it go, and he's saying no. We see Falcone Jr. I think it'll be all-out war in the streets between assassins, Nygma, Penguin, cops.
Jeez.
But it's all ultimately orchestrated by the Court of Owls. It gets in the street. The war on the streets will get to a point that the only thing the police can do is unleash the Kraken, who will find the other three parties guilty. Who is Barnes? That's my thought.
Okay.
I think that's where we're headed in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks we have.
Yeah. All right. I would say in 2 weeks, not probably by the end of next week's episode, Nygma figures out Penguin killed it.
Yes.
I mean, just based off Gotham pacing?
Yeah. He either kills Butch or sides with Butch.
True. Nygma could side with Butch.
Because Butch has Zaz. Butch has, like, the underworld. Like, Butch actually runs the underworld, whereas...
We haven't seen Zaz back this season.
We saw Zaz, like, once, and it was kind of disappointing.
Okay.
We need more Zaz.
All right. That's all I got. I just got Nygma. I mean, who Bruce? I'm curious to see what's gonna happen with the clone, but I don't. The clone's probably
the
not
clone's
coming back
out too. I forgot all about the clone. Yeah. The clone is just out.
But he's with the owls. The owls got him.
The owls got him, but like he's around. Like he plays. We're not gonna see the clone again. Like the clone's coming back.
Yeah.
This is a very loose prediction, but at some point in the next 3 weeks, we're going to see them deploy the clone in Bruce's place to cause more chaos. Like, because Bruce is probably going to strike first, and then that's going to be their counter-strike. And in typical Gotham fashion, I say 2 to 5 weeks. It's all this is all next week.
Yeah.
This right. is all the first scene of next week.
Yeah.
It's just, they just wait and see what we say and then write that into the first scene of next week.
Yeah. All right. I wish I could elaborate and add, but I don't. I'm always flying by the seat of my pants. I don't got
to. Also, everyone in the chat, including Sky Patterson, that's a swaggy. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Jerome, everyone's saying Jerome in the chat. Jerome will.
Jerome.
Jerome, we're left to assume, was one of the Indian Hill subjects, similar to Jerome. Fish Mooney. By the way, Fish Mooney is still out there with all the Indian Hill creepos.
A lot of cards in play.
There are so many cards in play. I forgot about that faction as well. It's actually going to be a 5-team faction. It's going to be
just in time for Survivor Series.
It's going to be a Survivor Series style matchup. It's going to be a tag team match. Sorry.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you.
But yes,
we're always going to fit in some wrestling,
guys. A little bit.
Just a little bit. Anything else in the chat?
No, we're good.
All right, guys. That's it.
We did this.
That's it for episode 9, Gotham season 3, The Executioner. If you guys haven't already, please go to youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, SoundCloud, iTunes, like, subscribe, share. My name is Michael Drew. You can find me on Twitter at Michael_Drew, Michael EAL. Please hit me up, comment, chat with me. I love conversation. Steve, where can they find you?
They can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN. They can see me next here at AfterBuzz TV this Sunday, where I will be covering Survivor Series, where it will be 5-on-5 Survivor Series style matches. Playa.
Woo!
Playa.
Woo!
Woo! And I think we're done now.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.